Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you and you talk about it with your friends and family and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it. Because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. I'm here today with WBUR reporter Walter Wuthman. Walt, you are behind a significant investigation that published today, and I want to get right into it. But real quick, I want to note that while it's not the main focus of the episode, we are going to briefly talk about sexual assault. Okay, so Walt, through your investigation, you identified over a dozen current police officers in Massachusetts who were fired or who resigned after a misconduct investigation who are now working at other agencies. At what department is this taking place, and are any of them close to us?
Yeah, these officers are all over the state, but some that we kind of dove more specifically into their cases is Blackstone, which is south of here on the Rhode Island border, Irving, which is out in western Massachusetts, Rehoboth, Paxton, Berlin, Boxborough, Bolton. They span the state.
Got it. And what kind of violations led to these officers leaving their previous jobs?
Again, it kind of runs the gamut, but we found officers who'd been fired because of drunk driving, officers who resigned while they were being investigated for sexual assault, for domestic violence, some for simply just lying, a whole list of offenses, you know, that were bad enough that the officers were either fired or they resigned because they... This is a common thing we found. You know, officers will be allowed to resign rather than face discipline, you know, and have discipline or a termination on their file. They can resign quietly, sort of make the thing go away and move on to a new department.
Got it. So tell me, how did you come across this story? How did you find out about it?
This is something that my editor and excellent investigative reporter Todd Wallach had been thinking about for a long time. We know this problem. Some people call it wandering officers. We know this happens. There was a really famous and tragic example in Ohio with the officer who fatally shot Tamir Rice, the 12-year-old boy with a toy gun. Mm-hmm. He had been allowed to resign from his previous department after they found he was unfit for duty. That never showed up in the Cleveland background check. He was hired and obviously to horrible results. So we know this happens, and we were thinking about how to quantify it. It's very hard in a state like Massachusetts where there's no central registry of misconduct. Mm. There's no agency up until recently that's been in charge of tracking this. So what we ended up doing was filing hundreds of public records requests to more than 100 of the larger departments in the state, asking for officers who'd been fired or resigned while being investigated over the last 10 years, and then comparing those names to active rosters. Whenever we had a match, we would kind of investigate it. So we've come up with over a dozen officers that we are 100% confident this is the same person. This person who was fired from the state police is now working in Irving. We have a lot more that we suspect are the same person. Our count is over a dozen, but there are likely many, many more.
So Walt, talk to me about the hiring process and tell me, how are these new precincts that these officers are going to, how are they vetting for potential new hires?
So it's kind of a patchwork. Massachusetts has hundreds of police departments. Some of them are very small municipal departments. And we found that even when departments are doing background checks, sometimes they're not completely thorough. So to give you a specific example, we found this officer, David Loudon. He was a campus police officer at UMass Dartmouth, and a student accused him of sexual assault and harassment. According to her, he had felt her up multiple times. He was sending her sexual and harassing text messages. He was calling her. You know, she reported all this to the university police. They started investigating him. And before there was a determination or any kind of discipline, he resigned. He went on to get a job at a new department in Blackstone, which is a small town in southeast Massachusetts, kind of right on the Rhode Island border. And apparently, these allegations against him and the fact that he resigned before there was any sort of conclusion never came up in his background check. They assigned him to work in the schools as a school resource officer. So again, with young people. When we brought the allegations to the town and asked them why they placed him in the schools, the town administrator basically said that she was completely unaware of his history. She asked us to see the university's police report. We sent it over to them. After we sent it, she said they'd removed him from the schools and they had started their own investigation into him. But he is still on the police department. He's still an active patrol officer. He's just not working in the schools right now.
Wow. I understand you had to find the information on your own. Are there any type of independent, community-based watchdog organizations doing this kind of work?
In other states and across the country, yes. As far as we can tell, this is the first attempt to systematically track this issue in Massachusetts. And to be clear, this is just for Massachusetts, officers moving within Massachusetts. This is not capturing someone who might have been fired in Florida and come to work here, or a Massachusetts officer who was fired and went to work in Maine or something.
Mm-hmm.
This is our best attempt to get a handle on the scale of the problem here. There are reforms in place that should both reduce this issue and quantify it in the future. After the police killing of George Floyd in 2020, the Massachusetts state legislature set up something called the Peace Officer Standards and Training Commission. Mm-hmm. They're going to certify and decertify officers. So if you are convicted of drunk driving, you will now be decertified. You cannot work again as a police officer in Massachusetts. But all these processes are still being set up 2 years later. They're not fully operational yet. As part of that, too, they're collecting data about misconduct in a central database that they will publish. Again, they were supposed to publish that last spring. Mm-hmm. They pushed the deadline back. We asked if there's any sort of estimate on when it's going to be published, and they don't have one. So at some point, we will have a better handle on this. But it remains very unclear of when that will actually be.
We're talking with WBUR reporter Walter Wuthman about his investigation into a trend known as wandering officers. We'll be back with more after a quick break.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Seen wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we're back. You know, you bring up George Floyd, and of course, that sparked a number of protests across the country. Of course, it's driven by systemic racism, but a lot of it revolving around policing and how the police interact with individuals and communities of color. I'm curious to know, did you notice a trend in the agencies where these officers left versus where they went? For example, did an officer leave a job where he or she was policing a white community and got rehired where they were policing a community of color? You know what I'm saying? Like, did you see any of those type of trends?
Our data is so patchy that I don't feel completely comfortable drawing patterns from ours, but there are other studies around the country that have looked at this issue of, you know, what experts call wandering officers. And there's this really amazing study that was done by researchers at Yale, and they looked at decades and decades of employment data from Florida, who actually certify and track their police officers in a much more comprehensive way than Massachusetts. And they found that there is a significant correlation that officers who were fired or resigned to avoid discipline from one job, they tend to go to departments that are smaller, that have fewer resources, and, you know, a higher proportion of communities of color. At least with our data, it does seem to me that there is a trend that officers are going to smaller departments with fewer resources. It also kind of intuitively makes sense. These departments need officers. They need to fill positions.
They may not have the resources to vet properly.
But another thing that came out of this Yale study, which was really interesting, was that when it comes to second chances, they found that officers who have offended in the past, you know, who were fired or had complaints against them, are significantly more likely to offend again in their new job, which is something we found in our reporting. There's an officer, Adam Pecos. He was fired from the state police for multiple instances of driving drunk. We saw that he went to a new department in Irving, again, small town, much smaller department than the state police. We requested his IA file, and after going back and forth with the town over months, we saw that actually after he was hired in Irving, he was arrested for driving drunk. It happened in Washington, which has much better public records laws than Massachusetts. We got all the dash cam footage, and we can see that when he was pulled over, he kind of knew what was happening, and he really tried to talk his way out by saying, hey, I'm a police officer. You don't have to do this. You can put me in protective custody. This doesn't have to be on my record, basically.
It should be the rest of my life. Everything that I've worked for, 16 years in the military, 6 years in police, that I've worked for my entire life, I just wish you would take that into consideration.
So he was just hoping that the trooper would, you know, would take the fact that he's a cop and a veteran into consideration. But he was arrested, and he was found to have a blood alcohol content of 0.15, which you probably know is almost twice the legal limit. Apparently, his department back in Massachusetts found out about this somehow. They said he was not forthcoming in reporting the incident and deceptive when they questioned him about it. Again, he was caught drunk driving once again in his new job, the same thing he'd been fired for from the state police. But he didn't lose his job. They suspended him for 5 days, and they later promoted him to sergeant.
Wow. Wow. What kind of accountability measures are in place for things like this?
So there are accountability measures being built right now, basically as we speak. So with certification and decertification, this should cut down on the issue. So I spoke to the head of the new Peace Officer Standards and Training Commission, Enrique Zuniga, and he said this issue of wandering officers or the officer shuffle, which is another thing experts call it, he says this is something that's very important to them and something they're actively working to address.
This is central to our mission. It's very much in our minds. We also have to build the infrastructure to be able to do it deliberatively and, you know, and carefully.
He also noted, you know, I brought up some examples to him, and though he wouldn't comment on specific cases, he says there's no statute of limitations for decertification. And I'd also just mention that we are one of the last states in the country to do this. You know, you have to be licensed to be a barber here. Mm. You have to be licensed to be a nail technician. And until a couple years ago, you did not have to be licensed through the state to be a police officer.
Wow. Wow. I'm wondering, how can residents in Massachusetts, how can they demand more transparency around this issue?
Internal investigations into police officers and disciplinary information is now accessible to the public. We, as citizens, can see the records of, you know, the police officers we trust to uphold the law in our communities. So you can submit public records requests to your police department. You can ask for the internal affairs logs. You can see which officers in your community have been investigated for what. Sometimes these are just allegations, but I think people have a right to know how their police departments are investigating their own officers and what officers have been accused of.
Walt, man, this is fascinating and very important reporting. So thank you so much for coming by and sharing it with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks, Daryl.
That's WBUR reporter Walter Wuthman. That's it for our show today. I really encourage you to read Walt's full investigation, which is up on WBUR.org right now. In the meantime, I'm Daryl C. Murphy. I'll talk to you tomorrow.